What's going on? Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of the podcast here. My name is Scott McKenna. I appreciate you taking some time, and today's episode I think is a really good one. I got the chance to sit down with Craig Adams, and for those who consume some of my content or are into the wedding filmmaking industry, I'm sure you know who Craig is. Craig is actually the founder of Wedding Film School, which is a very popular YouTube page that just provides tons of incredible resources to wedding filmmakers. And since that time, he's actually no longer really doing wedding films, and he's kind of moved on to a new area of filmmaking that he is just crushing it at. And I hope you get a chance to check out some of his content on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff. He is doing some awesome things, and he's honestly one of the most fascinating people that I know and that I follow. He's one of those guys that just constantly has these very interesting takes and ideas and perspectives on how he views certain things, and it's just really great to be able to sit down with him and let him share a little bit more about what he's up to, how he got to where he's at today. And I think you'll really enjoy this episode. Make sure you hit me up on Twitter at Scott W. McKenna and tell me what you thought of the episode. Make sure you reach out to Craig as well. All his links are in the description of this podcast. And thanks for listening. Enjoy it. So Craig, thanks so much for taking some time and being on the podcast today. Really appreciate your time. And how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm cozy. It's cold outside. I got my coffee, doing a podcast right after I woke up. So I'm energetic. I've got the most energy I could have.
That's awesome. Are you a morning person, or are you more of a night owl?
I'm a morning person, and my friends always make fun of me because I kind of never know what day it is. Like weekdays, weekends don't exist for me. I always wake up at 8. I always go to bed at midnight. So I'm just always good to go in the morning. Like India, my girlfriend works during the weekday, so she likes to sleep in at the weekend, and that's just not a thing I like to do. So I was up before her.
I'm the same way. I've always told people, I think that you ultimately know you're doing what you love if you actually don't care what day of the week it is, because every day just feels exactly the same. That's kind of been my thing over the last 5 or 6 months too. And it's a good feeling when you wake up each day and you're not really concerned about what day it actually is. So a lot of my listeners obviously probably know you initially through your success in Wedding Film School, which if you don't know what that is, then you can check it out on YouTube and all those things. But it's not really where you're at as much today. And so I would love for you to just summarize in as little or as much time as you need of where you kind of are at today and how you got to this. I know you've been going through a lot of different, very unique, interesting things as I've been following your content. So tell us a little bit about how you got there.
Yeah, I've been a creative this whole time, but wedding filmmaking has been a very long and important phase of my growth, starting all the way back from high school. Right before I graduated high school, an art teacher, you know, kind of took a risk. She was like, "You're a film guy, right? Well, can you shoot my wedding for $200? I was like, "What?" Sure. I did it, had no idea that I would get such amazing reactions from people and be able to film things that people cared about for the first time, really. Because I was making little stupid videos that I cared about, my friends cared about. But past that, no one really cared. So for the first time, I was making money. I was off doing something like professional. Like I had to dress up and wear a tie, and I had expectations. So the wedding bug kind of caught on. Did that all the way through college to make money.
So when was that? When was that first wedding?
So that was senior year of high school, right before I graduated.
Okay.
Yeah. And kept making money through college. And then I'd say halfway through college, a little towards the beginning, I realized that I just love to make tutorials and share my experiences. And that looked like just sharing what college was like at first, not necessarily wedding filmmaking. But it eventually moved into that because I was just sharing everything I was excited about. Whenever I got new gear, whenever I learned something new, whenever I saw like another really popular wedding filmmaker doing something, I tried it myself and failed, but wanted to share that experience, you know, YouTube was a great place to do that. So Wedding Film School kind of happened. It was like my third or fourth channel. Like I've started so many YouTube channels and then deleted them from the internet so that no one can see them. People don't realize that.
What were the other channels about?
One was just about like, you know, little weird videos, because I was a Vimeo person before YouTube, so I would kind of pick what would go on which. And then eventually I had some friends in college where we would make like little sketches, pretty inappropriate sketches, so it was kind of hidden. So not many people know about those, and I'm not sure if anyone can find them. And then, you know, just got rid of that and just started Wedding Film School. I really struck gold with that name. No one had anything like that. I stole the idea from No Film School, so Ryan Koo, another New York City guy, but it just made sense, you know, Wedding Film School, Wedding Video School, maybe. I don't know. Either would have been fine. I think the SEO would have been better with Wedding Video instead of Wedding Film, but I think it all worked out in the end, so I don't want to kick myself for that.
When did you start that channel? What year was that?
Ooh, I've just been counting back, so I guess it's almost 4 years now.
Okay, so you kind of got into right at the heart of when it really started to get popular, I think, which was why you had such good success with it as well. And the content was just very good. It was something that I had never seen at that time, because that was roughly when I started actually doing wedding films. And so, you know, now when you search wedding stuff, there's so much content on there, but you kind of were definitely one of the early pioneers as far as really good content.
Yeah, it would be easy for me to say that I was the first, but I just, from my own perspective, I just didn't see others. There probably were, especially in the world of wedding photography. You know, people have been doing workshops and tutorials and stuff. Chase Jarvis of Creative Live was way before me. Susan Stripling, every single professional wedding photographer had some sort of back-end education platform. You know, so I'm not going to take that credit, but I have seen a lot more just Wedding Film Academy and just other individuals starting a lot of tutorials. And I'm happy. It's great. You know, we should be teaching. And if I'm getting ready to do workshops at some point just for YouTube and what I do in general. And one of the big things is that everyone should be doing education and sharing how they do things. So I'm happy to see that.
So then share the journey. You now are not obviously filming weddings anymore, and you've kind of gone into YouTube as your full thing. What kind of went into that decision?
Yeah, in a perfect world, I would have just kept with weddings and continued to grow the circles that I had already worked hard for 3 years. You know, the people is the biggest thing. The referrals and working with Mackenzie and John Armendiaz and you know, just some of the greats in the wedding industry and going to conferences and drinking with them and being friends, you know, that's the hard work. And then just, it would have been good to make more films. And I probably would have tried to take over the New York market for wedding filmmaking as much as I could. I would have started doing workshops and doing just traveling and all this crazy stuff, but then it just stopped out of nowhere. You know, I don't think people really saw it coming as much as they should have, but I've made up a couple different reasons for why I stopped Wedding Film School, but I'm still not exactly sure, you know.
Did it kind of out of nowhere, like you just kind of one day were like, enough of this, or did it, was it kind of like a progression where you started to realize you liked it less and less?
It's less that I didn't like it. It's more that I fell in love with something else. I think it all started with the editing. I started to outsource my editing and just not care about that part of it. And there's so much soul that goes into a wedding film, when you edit it yourself. You know, just shooting for the edit and just, it's a full creative cookie. You know, you can't just eat the top in the middle of the cookie. You got to have the editing part of it. I started to do that and it was much cheaper, and I was just getting my backlog destroyed, and it's just more of a business and machine and felt less of an art thing. So I think that might've killed it. But I'm happier now. I'm doing everything except wedding. I'm doing whatever I want.
Okay, so let's jump into that a little bit. You're obviously a full-time YouTuber now, and I think that there's so many people that have so many different ideas of what is a YouTuber? Is it harder than you expected? What are some tips? Talk a little bit about like what the journey has been. You've been now full-time into YouTube and into kind of being your own boss in a very different way than most people. Talk a little bit about this new journey that you're doing.
Yeah, I've been looking at a lot of different perspective changes, and 2017 it was really, really interesting because it was a full year of YouTubing. I'm starting to realize that it's kind of strange to call myself a YouTuber, because if YouTube dropped dead next week, I would still survive and kind of do the same thing but on a different platform. So calling myself a filmmaker, I don't know. It doesn't really matter as much. But if I just had Twitter, I could do everything I do. not much would change. Like, I'd still produce videos. I'd still interact with people. I would still, you know, give value to people I want to work with, and then share the people engaging with me. You know, it's all interesting. It's all fun.
And I love that you touch on that, because I think what I see so many people do that they make so many mistakes in is that they go so hard into, let's say, being a YouTuber, quote unquote, or some sort of platform, and they are so reliant on that platform that if that platform goes away, they are completely screwed.
Divine.
And I love that you touch on that, because I think it's so, so important. I talk all the time about how obviously this whole idea of building brand and just doing whatever you're doing is so vital that you build it for who you are, that if the platform changes tomorrow, it shouldn't really matter. And it's even all these people that, you know, going crazy about this demonetization on YouTube and all that stuff. And realistically, I mean, if you're running your business where you're not necessarily making your money from one specific platform, that's really the way you should be doing it. Because, I mean, I think it's crazy that these people rely so heavily on just certain platforms, like feeding there. Like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah. Being creative to me means not just creating some kind of art or piece, but also being creative in how you solve problems.
Yeah.
And a lot of people rely on AdSense, and I think that's bad, because it's just putting all of your eggs in one basket, like you said. So if something changes or even goes away, you kind of lose that. So the most successful entrepreneurs on YouTube are people who have their own businesses, whether it's merch or selling education,
right,
or just doing something else. There's lots of different creative solutions to monetizing a YouTube channel. Because if you're getting eyeballs, you can make money.
Yep.
You know, it's as simple as that.
And I think that you're doing it really well, because what I notice about you that a lot of other people, I think, fail to do is you are very aware of the context of where you're actually putting stuff. So, you know, I follow you obviously on Instagram and Twitter and these different places, and each one has their own unique Craig twist to it that you kind of come to expect on that platform. And I think that it's just so, I'm sure you have somewhat intention of that, but if you don't, it's genius, obviously, just how unique each platform is to what you do, which I think is a valuable lesson for people to understand, that it's not just, you know, you post a photo on Instagram and you share it to all your social medias. It's so important to have the context of like how people are consuming media in those places. And I think you do that so well.
Yeah, there's strengths and weaknesses of each social media platform. And I think anyone who uses it correctly in that general sense will have success. So you have to be a person speaking actual words with an opinion if you're on Twitter. If you're on YouTube, it's just got to be original video content, or you have to be helping with some kind of review or tutorial, you know.
Right.
And here's the thing. I've learned that there are lots of different ways to do original stuff on each of these platforms, and it's never good to criticize how someone does what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, we've seen this rise on Instagram. It's interesting how they change over time. So it started off as like you took photos with Instagram within the app and kind of just did that, and then you added filters. So it's like these real photos from your phone, like, and then people started to add like an upload camera,
yep,
photos to their Instagram. So then you saw this whole wave of the no filter and the iPhone only,
mm-hmm,
and people were very insistent on, you know, letting their audience know where their photos were coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've seen this whole change of very curated, very edited, and almost sometimes completely fake profiles. You have to realize that that's okay. It's just the choice of the artist, and Instagram is just a photography portfolio. So, you know, you can't get mad at that. And I think the more that you, or the less that you focus on what other people are doing, the better your own stuff can be.
You know, what I really think is cool about your journey too is you are very open to sharing stuff. You are always sharing stats. You're always sharing affiliate money coming in, which I think is really cool. And I think it should be inspiring to people that obviously there are opportunities to make money in these platforms, but it's really unique in my opinion, just how you share that information. Cause obviously I know you've been having a lot of success, probably more than most people realize, with like Instagram stories. What do you think is so unique right now about the Instagram stories platform, or why you think you're seeing the kind of numbers and success you're seeing in those?
just to touch upon the fact of sharing, you know, that I've always done that, and it just makes sense to me because that's an important part, the back end. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't, and even, you know, there's even a slippery slope with that because I try not to just share the wins and the victories. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's good to show everything. I don't, you know, so that's maybe that's something I want to work on more, not just showing like the good days, but the full spectrum of everything that's going on and the money I'm making and the views. But yeah, that's, I'm surprised more people don't share that. Some people on Instagram and YouTube like do not share how they edit or how they shoot or any of that. And I think that's crazy. You know, it's up to them. That's totally fine. But I just think your community values that, and it's refreshing because not many people do that.
Yeah, for sure.
As far as Instagram stories, you know, I'm just sharing my excitement for that growth and the fact that people should be vlogging on Instagram story. Because it's just very tragic when new YouTubers look at Casey Neistat or follow their favorite YouTubers and think that their way into the industry and to start to get their first 1,000 subscribers is to do a daily vlog.
Right.
And when you see like single digit or just double digit view counts on these dozens of episodes over, you know, a month or two, mm-hmm. it's kind of tragic. So, you know, there's different ways to break into the industry, and I think vlogging with your phone and getting some people to care about that is a good way to push towards YouTube, because Instagram and YouTube work really well together, I think. And lastly, I wanted to touch upon the idea of sharing stats, because I remember sharing stats on YouTube, or no, on Twitter, and I every so often I'd have some people who would get a little mad at me and think that it was very arrogant to share numbers. And if I was sharing how much I made with Amazon affiliate and talking about that experience and like what people should be doing to reach these numbers, I'd have some people being like, wow, like, why are you just like showing off how much money you're making? You're like, you're such a douchebag. I'm like, well, you know, that's a very strong way to come to react to that. Why don't you just internalize and think about why you're coming at me like that? Like, what's going on with you to make you defensive? So,
yeah, I think people are, I mean, I've started to realize, obviously, as everyone does when they start creating any content on YouTube, it's unbelievable the amount of energy that is wasted on just like hate stuff. Just it literally makes me laugh. I mean, I respond back to everything I see on YouTube and Twitter and all those places, but it just, I just sometimes have to laugh that people have the amount of energy and time they have just to hate on things, when if they put even a tenth of the percentage of energy they put into that on actually creating something, they'd be surprised that there's actually some value in not being a hater. It's really incredible, though.
Yeah.
But that goes right into my next question and one of the last ones. But kind of, what are some big mistakes you see? I mean, I really like that you actually talked about kind of starting on the Instagram story platform to build into YouTube or those other things. What are some of the biggest mistakes you see people making when kind of going full time into, let's just say, filmmaking? Not even just YouTube, because YouTube is up one platform. But what's the biggest mistake you see for young kids, people going into this that want to be filmmakers, kind of that they're doing wrong, you think?
Number one mistake people, young filmmakers starting out on YouTube, is just being really inspired by the people that they watch and look up to, because that's normally the reason why people start. You know, they see someone else do something that excites them, and then they just copy it, and they don't have any original voice, they don't have any strong opinions. So it's pretty safe. You know, they're not taking any risks. It's not risky at all to imitate and copy something that is already successful. Mm-hmm. What does take risk is to do something that people kind of double take and like ask, why are you doing that? Because it comes from a place of, this is what I really love and I'm just going to share, and I don't care who cares, like who watches or reacts to it.
Yep.
That is just the biggest number one thing. You know, there's so many other little steps that I think people learn through trial and error, and that's totally fine. But if a new YouTuber starts off not copying and doing something completely different and original that they've never seen, or something that's true to themselves, you know, I think they're going to be double or triple or quadruple the numbers that they would have been if they were copying, you know, a year later. So
it's good.
It's like a fast track.
That's good. And so last thing is, obviously, we could talk forever about your whole new venture into minimalism, which is just fascinating to me. I told my wife the other day I was going to try it, and she just laughed because she knows me and knows that it would probably be impossible for me to get rid of anything. I'm like an OCD person about keeping things clean, but I have a lot of junk. So I definitely can resonate with that. I think it would provide a lot of less stress in my life. But what I really want to touch on is you just recently sent out an email to your email list that said saying goodbye to email. And it was one of the things that I've been hearing you talk about for a while. And maybe you could quickly touch on just how minimalism has changed you and what does this actually mean, you getting rid of email, and what kind of goes into that?
Yeah, there's just... And what are the different choices other than email? It seems every day, every social media platform has some way of communicating. So it's very possible. And the question is, would a brand communicate to me on Twitter DM? Yeah, I've gotten over the past, like 2017, I've gotten brands reaching out to me on Instagram message and Twitter DM. So it really doesn't matter. And me particularly, it shouldn't matter. If a brand isn't okay with just like talking to me as a person, regardless of how, like that's the kind of brand I'd like to work with. And, you know, my audience and my subscribers reaching out to me, they do so with the content, you know.
Right.
You see a Instagram photo, you're probably going to say hi on Instagram DM, or if we're having a Twitter DM or just Twitter chat, they're going to reach me out to there. So what I'm doing is I started a new email, built a new secret email that no one knows about. People have been trying to guess what it is on Twitter ever since I said this, but no one knows. I'm not going to say anything. And then I'm slowly starting to scour my old emails from the internet. It'll still be out there for someone who's really ambitious, mm-hmm. and that's okay. But over the past year, you know, I've gotten rid of so many every single email list. I barely get any email. So that's the secret to inbox zero, just not getting any email. It's very manageable.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's without question, that's something that I've always been a part of, just having nothing in my inbox except for something that needs immediate attention. But yeah, I do find it interesting because it is true that, you know, if a brand sees something they really like on Instagram or YouTube, it's easier for them to just right there message you and get in contact with you than searching for an email anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think messages are way more manageable than email if it gets to that scale, because we have verified Twitter, we have different ways to filter out the super important, like, hey, if Beyonce wants to send me a message, I'm gonna know if Beyonce wants to send me a message.
Yeah, for sure.
She's not gonna get lost into the fold, okay? So I'm not worried about that.
That's awesome. Well, I really, really appreciate you taking some time. This is definitely valuable. I think that it's just really interesting to follow what you do, and I would love for you to take 30 seconds, tell people, obviously, your favorite platforms to follow you on, or just all the ones you want people to follow you on. I just think that there's very few people on all of YouTube, honestly, that do the type of content you do, where I can always expect authentic Craig Adams content, where I feel like so many people try to copy, like you said, other people, and you just do it so well. So just a big kudos to you for just doing some great stuff.
Well, thanks. Yeah. And you know, you've kind of, I forget like the year that you came into the mix, but it seems like you've been on Wedding Film School forever. Like it's funny how you start to realize or just recognize certain profiles and people interacting and giving back and like being an actual good dude. And now that we finally like got to chat a little bit more, you know, we got to hang out sometime. We're so close.
Yeah, for sure. You know? It's cool being nearby, but I don't know when I jumped on board. Like I said, I started doing wedding stuff right when you basically would have, I guess, started that channel. So it might have been for a while, but it's been really cool to just follow your journey, because obviously I followed it through the heat of when you were doing tons of Wedding Film School stuff, and then now it's like, you know, Tokyo travel vlogs. It's like it's just an entirely different thing, which is really, really cool to see. So best of luck to you. Your channels, really quickly, I will link them obviously in the description as well, but where do you want people to follow you?
So I've been experimenting with Discord and Reddit and different new ways of communication, but good old Twitter, it's always there. It's my secret. Some people don't get it. That's okay. If you have good ideas, if you're a person who can talk with other people and have good opinions and stuff, like, Twitter is just awesome. And it is the fast track to getting on the radar of someone that you want to work with in the future with. So I'm slowly making my way towards Elon Musk, you know, and Twitter is the place because he has his phone in hand and he's an actual celebrity, you know, amazing person who is actually tweeting,
right?
And not like, you know, I don't know if Oprah is tweeting or whatever. Some people have like brand accounts, right. But damn, I love Twitter. That's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to slide into Elon's DM and I'll make it work.
Okay? Oh, that'd be awesome.
But yeah, follow me on Twitter. I'm working on getting at Craig Adams. It's close. I've been making some strides.
Trying to get the guy with two followers, yes, two subscribers.
No shirt.
Yeah.
He is an eight. I will never forget because it's been the same for like 2 years, but it's like Ames, Justin Bieber, he has the shirt off and it's at Craig Adams and I want it. I'm going
to
get it.
If you figure out how to make that happen, promise. You've got to tell me because I can't get at Scott McKenna back and I'm 99% positive that I actually own it. I seriously don't because there's nothing on the profile and I've tried every email. I've tried getting in touch with them and if you figure out a way to be able to like, there should be a platform that you can just buy someone's channel, like you can offer them I want to buy your Twitter name,
a marketplace.
Except that people would buy this stuff and sell it and make money, but that's another whole topic. But thanks so much, Craig, really appreciate a few minutes of your time. Enjoy the rest of your cold week. Let's hope the spring gets back as soon as possible.
Yeah, thank you so much, it was fun.
So I just want to say thanks so much to Craig for taking a few minutes of his time. Just a really, really cool dude that if you follow his stuff, if you follow his YouTube, his Instagram, all his different platforms, he's just so unique. And I think there's lots of valuable things to learn from Craig. We didn't even get into some of the things that he does better than anyone I've ever seen, which is just the way that he makes money with affiliate links, the way that he makes money with different platforms is just fascinating. And you can follow a lot more of that on his journey, on his Twitter, on his YouTube page, on his Instagram, all that stuff. Lots of valuable things to learn. So thanks for listening. Talk to you very soon.